Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Growing up on the Gulf Coast, I grew up thinking that there was just one season, the hot, humid season. Right? It never really got below maybe 70, right? And humidity was always so high. But living in New Jersey, I learned that there is this thing called winter. A time where things die, and plants die, and this white stuff of snow, right, covers the ground. There, you know, you get so much snow, feet of snow, and snow is pretty when it first comes down. By the time you get to February, and it's just been snowing and snowing, and it's filthy and polluted, and it's just big piles and mounds of ice, you just get depressed, right? You get depressed, and you think, well, this is just my life. This is just what life is going to be. It's going to be cold and dark and dreary, and it's going to get dark at 3 o'clock every day, and you'll never see the sun, and it's miserable and never-ending. But then, you would see in early March, here is a picture. Right? This is a picture right at our house there. Caitlin Tuck is the crocus, right? This is the crocus flower would come. There in the midst of the snow, you'd see a flower come up. And this flower, you know, I'm not much of a flower person. That's no secret, okay? All right? But when all you've seen is dreariness, this flower is a joy. This flower is a reminder to me that even though everything looks dead and lifeless, and it thinks that I think that summer is never going to get here, that the beauty of these colors, you know, yellows and the purples and just the reds of these flowers that would just come up, a reminder that I'm going to live in that world again. That the world I live in today, of the dark and the dreariness, it is not forever. There is hope. That the hope that the past and the things that are dead and the things that are dreary, I can put behind me. And that there is something coming in the future. You know, what would happen, though, is that while the flowers would come up, it would snow again, just like this, you know? Snow again. That might be a thought that maybe I was wrong. Maybe it really is just going to be winter forever. But you know, the snow melts a little bit faster, and it's warmer. And the days get longer, and there is always this flower, something that is so sudden, something that happens that seems out of place. A flower in the snow. The world can seem like it is one way for us, but then something that is out of place happens, and we never would expect it to come. And yes, the world does keep going the way that it was before, but it is also different. It's also different because, you know, this flower has bloomed. I'd like us to go back to the day of the crucifixion. These women, disciples of Jesus, you know, the Marys, the mother of James and John, they are there. They are the only ones that see Jesus crucified. They're the only ones that saw him die. It's certainly not the first crucifixion they ever saw. They probably, you know, historians tell us, at least tens of thousands, maybe likely hundreds of thousands of people were crucified by the Romans during this time. They tell us of at one uprising, 6,000 were crucified in one day. I mean, they were well acquainted with what a crucifixion is. And so these disciples of Jesus, they watch him die the death of so many others that they've seen before. Of criminals, of innocent people, slaves, and they saw that's just how the world is. That's just how it works. That the powers that be, they can define what is right and wrong to themselves. And we just get crushed by the machine. They watch him taken down from the cross and laid in a tomb. And that massive stone is rolled in front and it's sealed and a guard is posted. And they just stand by and watch it all happen. These women, that they had left everything to follow Jesus. And they had been healed by him. They had seen him heal others. They had seen him come just to the right place, right, where people needed it. And they had been transformed by him and by his teaching and by his grace and by his mercy. And he had this compelling vision of the world, that dark dreariness, that never-ending winter, that's about to be done. That he is God's son and he brings God's rule into this world. And Jesus would invite people to be part of the family, people that were never invited before, people that were never included before. And he would celebrate God's kingdom with them. And he would celebrate God's healing power. He taught them that God loved them and so much. He loved them like, you know, if he loves the sparrow and cares for them, how much more is God love them and going to care for them? They began to believe that God would give them this, the world as a safe place now. That is not a world that is just going to chew them up and spit them out. It's safe because of God's love for them. And because of God's love for them, they can do some really radical things like love their enemy. And be doing good to those who want to kill us. You see, that's Jesus, right? Jesus is, he's so beautiful, he is so compelling, he is such wondrous flower in the midst of this dark, dreary world. Yet he is then crushed and chewed up, spit out, like so many before him and so many after. You know, we thought that he was the one. They got their hopes up. They got their hopes up that the world was really the kind of place that Jesus was talking about. That the world really was this kind of, that summer really was here. And that real life is a real possibility. And that we could leave some things behind. We could leave all of that other stuff behind. We could leave all of our sin and failure behind. But now our hopes are dashed. It's nice to dream for a while, but now it's time to get back to real life and to the real world, to how real things really happen, that might makes right, and that people in power can define what is right and good and what is evil for their own people and their own tribe and their own. And so let's just get back to the way things really are. It's like a snowstorm in early April. That's how the world really is. A world in where dogs don't even treat each other the way that we treat each other. The way in which we invent new ways to torture each other and to kill each other, to dehumanize one another. That's what we do to each other, and that's the world we live in. So I'll go home and I'll just try to cope. Try to get on with life. It's probably the best that a lot of us try to do is we just try to cope. We just try to get on in life. Because life teaches me this. It teaches me that I get hurt, and that there is pain, and there is loss, and so nothing's ever going to change, so let's just cope. It can be hard for maybe some of us to imagine, especially growing up here in the West, but some have gone through such excruciating pain and such loss. And when we go through this, we are participating in what the majority of human history has experienced. You see, if you don't know someone that has been brutalized or tortured or murdered, right, you're kind of an exception, right? We're an exception to what most of the world has experienced. We stand out. because that's just how the world is. And this is what the Christian story does. The Christian story, it is not trying to ignore all of that and to pretend that none of that stuff happens and to pretend that it really isn't, there is no winter. What it does is it looks at the face of the most tragic evil in this world. And it embraces it. It participates in it. And it speaks into that world, into the real world. To be a disciple of Jesus is then to do something really crazy. It's to choose to believe that vision of the world, the vision of a world that is dark and dreary and oppressive, that's not the real world. Not that it's not real and that it didn't happen, okay, but it's not real in that it is not the deepest truth about this world. It is not where this world is heading. You know, why on earth would we believe that there is a world of beauty and color and warmth and vibrancy and life when the world is snow-caked and dreary and depressing outside? Why would we believe that? Well, there's this flower. Jesus is alive. The story, it's simple. It's one that we've heard probably countless times. It's the Easter story. But maybe we don't always, take time to slow down and to ponder it. The story doesn't explain why the world is different. It doesn't try to explain it and to extract every bit of meaning out of it. It just tells us Jesus was dead. Now he is alive. And so we have to continue to make sense of it, to figure it out. And it comes out of the grand story of the Bible, which is about the creator of everything on a grand mission to redeem his world, to purge his world and his creation of every evil and injustice and beauty, marring thing, and even death. The prophets told us that this was coming. They said it's coming. And that there would be hope that God would recreate us and to make us as his kind of people, living in a redeemed world, to be truly good. And that's what the story was culminating to, that they thought that would be kind of just the end of the story. Now, one little glimpse of that story we get from Abraham. We think of Abraham. Abraham was living amongst idol-worshipping people. There's no indication that he knew who God was. Every indication was he was an idol-worshipping person, too. And he was old. 75 when God calls him. His wife is old and barren. It seemed like for them, this is not the people I would call to say you're going to be a blessing for the world. Now, wouldn't you choose someone that's good and righteous and upright and was young and virile, right? Isn't that the kind of person you would choose to say that's real life is in that person and that's who life will come through? But God calls Abraham, who seemed like he was in the winter of life. Seemed like he was just kind of dead all around. And he says, no, in you, spring is coming. In you, there is new life. You will have new life. And how that will all work out, Abraham couldn't see it. He just believed that while he was in the midst of a winter, that life really could come. Summer could be a possibility because there's this flower that has bloomed. This little flower blooms in the middle of winter. St. Paul says it's the first fruits of creation, of the new creation. Right? It has burst from the tomb. Jesus tries to tell his disciples that it was coming. They just didn't get it. Because they had been experiencing this world like everyone else experiences it. of brutality and violence, pointless war and death and loss. And they had that future hope that one day, long from now, God would fix it. But today, it's still winter. But then all of a sudden, this thing happens. Jesus is alive. And he said, hi. We have to make sense of our whole life. We have to really rethink our whole life. And we have to rethink what it means to be in this world if we're going to accept that that is true. Not just for my own life, but what kind of world am I living in? Because it seems like this world that we're in is a world in which we just get chewed up, crushed, and spit out. Why would we ever believe this? Well, there's this flower in the middle of winter. There's an empty tomb. The disciples saw a mutilated, murdered man laid in the tomb. And then they saw him alive. Why has the Christian faith continued? Why does a local congregation continue? It's not because of the weight of institutional momentum, okay? It's not, well, that's just traditions that we keep alive because they're nice and we like them. It's not because, well, that's just the way we've always done things. That's just kind of who we are. That's not what keeps it going. No, it's Jesus rose from the dead. And the world is not what you think it is. And so how does it feel to have your world shattered? Maybe if this is your first time to even consider this, you know, what does it feel like, right? To have that shattered? It probably feels like terrified and joy. Terror and joy together. We think we know what kind of world that we're living in, a world in which Jesus gets wiped out. And destroy. But that's the world we live in. A world in which people just tragically die. And it even goes unnoticed. And we think loss is normal. That when someone that is young and super healthy, they just die. People get COVID. People get cancer. A world of refugees and war. Hurricanes and earthquakes. And Jesus tells us that that is not the whole story. That's not the whole story. We all come from different places, and some maybe are in a pain that is too deep. You know how to put a smile on, okay? You've learned how to cope in this world. And sometimes our only response that we have learned is that we lash out in our anger and we just rage at the world. And it's so deep that we don't even know that we're doing it. And you're tempted to think, well, yeah, Jesus alive, that's a nice idea. All that stuff that Jesus taught about, I wish. That's just not how the world is. Maybe you have a personal moral integrity failure. A failure that you keep doing, and you keep doing, and you keep doing. And you begin to say it to yourself, well, that's who I am. I'm really just a dead, nothing person. There's no life here. Sure, St. Paul could say that, you know, that you can count all those things as loss for the sake of the righteousness of Christ. And that there could be maybe some hope for real change. But I know my life. And I know who I am. And all of that is a dream. This story invites us to just consider for a moment this idea. That is not how the world really is. And that is not who you really are. That you are a precious human creature created in the image of God. And we are simply caught up in a web of injustice and evil and ugliness and brokenness. And has wrapped us all up. And that we have all participated We all participate in the death of Jesus, one way or another. And so this story tells us that even our own story of failure and evil does not have the last word. That Jesus has chosen to take responsibility for you and for me and for our failures. And he's going to have victory over it with his life and his love. And that there is a hope for you of a new world, and that this is not a figment of your imagination. And when you are tempted to think that it is, you can point to this one event in human history. A flower in the middle of winter. Jesus' empty tomb. He is not there, and those who have seen the risen Christ. We all have a past. We all have a past that we walk away from, things that we have left behind, our own winters. And there is a temptation to believe that none of this is true, and that this is not how the world really is, and that today, you know, that the resurrection of Jesus says that really isn't true, and that there is a different kind of hope. Maybe there is a failure in your life that says that's not true, but the resurrection of Jesus tells you that that's not how it has to be. There might be some of us that look at the world and it just seems so hopeless. It's just too complex and too far gone. And the resurrection of Jesus tells us that that's not how it has to be. When God calls us to follow him, he calls us to forget what lies behind, to forget that snow-caked, dreary, dark, ugly past. Leave it behind. To count it all as loss. So glad to be counting that as loss so that you can walk with him. Walk with him terrified, to be sure, but with great joy. Today, as we come to the Lord's Supper, as he invites you to eat of the bread and drink the wine and eat of his body and his blood, come bring all of that to him. Bring that darkness and that dreariness. Bring it to him. And there at the table, forget. Forget that dark winter that you were leaving behind. Forget what God has called you from. And to focus on what he calls you to. That it can be different. That it can be different one day. It can be different because, you see, there's this flower. Because the tomb is empty. Jesus is risen from the dead. Amen. And now may a peace of God which passes all understanding may it guard our hearts and minds in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Amen. We'll sing now our sermon hymn, Christ Has Arisen. Thank you.
stand for prayer. As we pray for the Church of God and for all the world and its needs, we also pray for your individual needs. And this is a reminder of the various ways in which you can bring your prayer requests to us so that we can pray together here as we gather. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In thanksgiving for holy baptism, by which God has made waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert of this world, and that he would open our eyes to new life in Christ and our ears to hear his word, free us to walk uprightly and loose our tongues in praise, let us pray to the Lord. That God would preserve us from judgment with evil thoughts, especially from showing partiality and making distinctions among ourselves, and that he would make us rich in good works as we hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For a lively faith in Jesus Christ, that we would be fruitful and active in all good works, let us pray to the Lord. For parents, that they would raise up their children to know Christ as their help and hope, and not put their trust in princes in whom there is no salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For Joseph, our president, for Kamala, our vice president, and for all rulers, that God, in whom alone we place all our hope, would bless them, order their plans for the welfare of the governed, and execute his justice for the oppressed. Let us pray to the Lord. For all those here who rejoice and give thanks, for those who are sick, those who cry out in every need, especially this day, we give thanks for Andrea and the birth of a healthy child born this week. We pray for those who mourn, especially those who mourn the death of Alice Dale. We pray for those who are ill and sick, for Jerry in hospice, for Jan, for Mary Jo Becker, for Ayla's grandmother, who's suffering from Alzheimer's, for Jenna, for Kaya, for Tina, giving thanks for a successful surgery, for Dennis, for Byron, for Gloria, for Leah, for Sandra, recovering in rehab, for Lorna and Pat and Stephanie, for Thua and Huang, who have COVID, for Amanda, who's recovering from surgery, for Vicky, Lynn Fendler's cousin, who's been diagnosed with cancer, for Linda, for Griffin, for Ed Yoswick, who's in the hospital and is declining, for Austin, the grandson of Diane Kelly, who has COVID. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all who commune this day, that they would receive Christ's body and blood in repentance and faith for the forgiveness of sins and in the unity of a true confession, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all these things, and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our offerings, just a reminder on the various ways in which we are able to give, either online or through texting, or if you have brought a gift for offering, we invite you on your way up to communion or during the offertory to put it in the plates at the table here in the front. Please be seated as we gather our offerings. Thank you. Please stand. As most of you no doubt already have become accustomed, during this time of COVID, we've foregone our chalice and we're now providing our bread and wine through these individual cups. You're invited, if you are communing, to come forward table by table and to pick up your bread and wine as you come up to the table here to the rail. Or you may pick one up and return to your seat, which will be our final table. Let us continue with our prayers leading up to our Lord's Supper. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord, King of the universe, who created all things for the sake of your name, has given food and drink to all of humanity for enjoyment, but to us have granted spiritual food and drink for eternal life through Jesus, your servant. Remembering, therefore, his salutary command and his life-giving passion and death, his glorious resurrection and ascension, and his promise to come again, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. And we implore you, remember thou us, O Lord. Remember not what we deserve, but what thou hast wrought in us. And with your word and by the sending of your Holy Spirit, bless us, your servants, and these your own gifts of bread and wine, that we and all who share in the body and blood of your Son may be filled with heavenly peace and joy, and receiving the forgiveness of sin may be sanctified in soul and body and have our portion with all your saints. Remembering us in your kingdom, teach us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
O Jesus.
Welcome to our Lord's table. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, who was given unto death for you and the forgiveness of all of your sins. And take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Now may this true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the true faith, from now unto life everlasting. Peace be with you. Amen. Welcome to our Lord's table. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was given unto death for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Now take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shed for you for your forgiveness. May this true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in the true faith from now unto life everlasting. Peace be with you. Amen. Welcome to our Lord's table. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Now may this true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in the true faith from now unto life everlasting. Peace be with you. Amen. Welcome to our Lord's table. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for you for the forgiveness of all. Take a drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. And now may this true body and blood strengthen you and preserve you in the true faith from now unto life everlasting. Peace be with you. Thank you.
stand for prayer. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Let us go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Yeah.
Because I remember, because that's